earth in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken kindly unto thy handmaid, though I be not as one of thy handmaids. And then she's privileged to dine with them, and look at verse 17. So she gleaned in fields until even, and she beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had left after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where hast thou wrought? Blessed be he that take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is nigh of kin unto us, one of our near kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, Yea, he said unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maiden, and that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maiden, the Boaz, to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the threshing floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest, I will do. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We remember that the psalmist could say, A day in thy court is better than a thousand. Our God, that this might ever be the truth that proceeds from our heart. We thank you for those who were here this morning. Our Father, we would wonder what their thoughts were. A day in thy court is better than a thousand. But our Father, we are thankful for those who are here. And we are glad that whether there are those who enjoy thy word, as Jeremiah, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Or, if there are those who say, What a weariness it is, our souls loathe this light bread, we are thankful, our Father, that it in no wise changes the worth and the preciousness of the word of God. So we who are here this night, may it indeed be our confession, which was Jeremiah's confession. We are called by thy name, O Lord. So for this day, we thank you for it. Thy son has been remembered. He told us to do that. He has been remembered. And our Father, he said to feed the lambs and sheep. They have been fed this morning, and we desire another handful of purpose this night. So, disappoint not those who came for food, we pray.
We confess our sins, be faithful and just, forgive and cleanse, as you have promised, our God, and prepare hearts, and let the seed of the word of God be sown, and let it bring forth abundantly. In power we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. There are people who have never seen me, and yet they know about me. There are people who probably know you, but have never seen you, and they have an estimate of you, an opinion, and I wonder whether it's good or bad. You say, how is that? Boaz has never before seen Ruth, until the day that God sees fit that her hat was to glean in his field, and his hat was to come from Bethlehem, Ephrathah, and he sees her gleaning in his field. But when she talks to him about his kindness, his grace toward her, this is what he says. It hath been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how you left your own father and mother, your land, you've come to Israel, and now you trusted in God, under whose wings you have sought rest. You see, never seen the woman before, and yet he had heard of the report concerning her, and she had a reputation in his sight, and now he meets her, and she turns out to be all that he had heard of her, and the more he learns of her, he finds out that she is more than the report, the good report that he has heard of her. Now, I'm thinking of ourselves. There are people who know about the meeting in Goldsboro. They may never have been there. Oh, but they know about it. And the meeting here, Grace Chapel, they've never been here, but they know about it. And what is so important is that whether they like us or not, if they hear that we are steadfast and faithful to the Word of God, then that is all that matters. Here is a woman, and what would you think of her own countrymen when she left them? Our daughter has forsaken us, forsaken our God, forsaken me, her father, her mother. She's left her nativity, and she's gone to another God. That's what they would think. But understand that people are going to have different estimates of you, and I want the estimate that comes from the true people of God, those who value the reputation of a woman like Ruth the way that Boaz did. I am not concerned with what those heathen with whom I used to be associated say of me, but I am concerned with what those with whom I am now associated say of me and what they think of me. And therefore, if some kindness is shown you, it would be ever so good if a commendation is given like the one that Boaz spoke concerning Ruth. At times, people have shown me kindness, and I said, I do not deserve this. And they say, I know, I'm just like the Lord, you see. They are trying to be facetious, I suppose. Many times it's quite true. But it would be good if, as it says in God's Word, if you minister God's Word, then those that receive blessing from God's Word are to minister unto you. Not, as I heard one man say, and what is so sad, is that there are some in the Lord's work, and you would wonder if they should ever be there. And I spoke concerning this one whose ministry, to put it in a way that you cannot understand, was not acceptable, and I was speaking to another brother, and he said, yes, all of that is true, but still, this man must be cared for. Or is that not sad? He should not be in the Lord's work. He's not able to minister and build up the flock of Jesus Christ. And yet, in spite of that, someone says, well, the church is responsible to take care of him now that he's been commended to the work of the Lord. Is that not a sad thing? I think if you had been inviting me up here for 30 years, saying, well, he can't speak, but after all, he's been commended to the work of the Lord, and we should take care of him. But if I have a reputation like that of Ruth, look, what I'm doing for you, you deserve. I know what the report is of your past and what life you've lived, the way that you treated your mother-in-law, your behavior since the time you left your own country. And now, this is what I want to do for you. So what happens is this, that the reputation that you had in the past can mean ever so much to you at a moment that you do not expect to enter into. Who would have ever thought that Ruth is going to meet this man, Boaz, and when he meets her, her reputation has preceded her. But it has. And there are others, and I was speaking to a friend only the other day, and a man walked in, and he was telling me how sorry this individual was. He was just telling me, he said, oh yes, he said, he can't be trusted with money. He was left some land, but his grandmother left it to him, and she made it so that it would go to his grandchildren when he died, because she knew exactly what he was going to do if that land were in his name. He said, and there was a tobacco allotment on it, and as soon as he got it, he sold that tobacco allotment. Do you see? People know your reputation. So here is Ruth, and she comes with this reputation, and Boaz finds out that she is everything that has been spoken concerning her. So that is an exhortation to us. Let us have a reputation. We do not care if the world says certain things concerning us, if they are not true things about sins that we've committed. This is what I mean. If the world would criticize us for leaving denominationalism, if the world would criticize us for leaving the religion we were brought up in and taking our place with the religion that God set forth in His Word, let them criticize. We must have a good report from them that are without. But a good report is not being faithful to that which is false, but whatever the criticism might be, being faithful to that which is true. So this is the reputation that preceded Ruth, and everybody was talking about it. How nice if people talk about you and say such things concerning you as they said concerning Ruth. All right. Now this. Understand that this is the first day that Ruth has gone out to labor. And God keeps giving us inklings of hope. It said that she left in time of famine, but when she came back to Bethlehem, it was the time of barley harvest. Not that seed had been sown, and it looks as if they're going to grow, but it was the time of barley harvest. So that is hope. You remember I told you about Samson's hair? It had been cut off, but his hair began to grow again. So there was a famine, but now a harvest is appearing. So she goes out and she seeks a field and she asks permission to glean in that field, and she is given that permission. But let me tell you this, that whereas she asked, it was not in the power of the overseer of that field to prevent her from gleaning according to God's instruction in the Pentateuch. He saw to it that the stranger and the sojourner would be provided for in time of harvest, and he insisted that they be allowed to come and to glean in the field. And God said this, now, if you are gathering in the grain and you leave a sheep, you can't go back and get it. That's for the stranger and the sojourner. And here you will see that if they're gleaning it and they're cutting it and putting it in sheaves and some falls, then the gleaner is permitted to go and get it. But she asked permission and this man gives it. You'll find that some would not do that. If you read in the book of Nehemiah, if you read in the book of Ezra, you will see that things that were established in the law were being set aside. And the things that God had intended for the good of men, they were being roughshod, run over roughshod, and all of these rights that were theirs according to their constitution were being denied them. So I wanted you to know that Ruth gleaning in this field had every right to glean in the field. I remember that on one occasion, that there was another right in the Old Testament, and as a young boy, this man had a tree full of pecans, and I was out underneath that pecan tree, just eating pecans away, and he came out and looked at me, and I said, you know, the Bible says that I'm allowed to do this. I didn't know whether he was familiar with it or not, but if you have a fruit tree, I may go and stand under that fruit tree and eat what I want. Now, I can't take loads of fruit and fill up my garments and take a basket and take it home, but I was permitted to do that. You say, well, isn't that bad? No, because the man has the same privilege in your case, and he can go over and stand under your apple tree and eat all the apples if he wants to. But God said, there must be a way that it balances out. So remember that there were certain privileges that God established, and do not believe those words about God being a hard God and God only caring for the nation of Israel. He said, for the stranger and the sojourner, God is merciful that way. So here is God's kindness to this woman who besought that this privilege would be given her, and she did not know, perhaps, that it was hers by right according to the law of the nation of Israel. And so she goes and she gleans. Now, again, notice the report. This is what is so excellent. When Boaz asks about her, he says, whose woman is this? And he starts telling about her, and he says, she came and asked permission to glean. She came and she's been gleaning all day long from the morning until now, save that she spent a little time in the house. And you will find that she gleaned all the rest of the day till the end of the day. And there again is a woman who has a reputation. She's willing to go out and work, not only for herself, but for her older mother-in-law. And so he asks the overseer about the woman, and he gives her a good report. He has heard other reports, and she continues till the end of the day. And now I told you that God is giving us little tokens of good. It's the time of barley harvest, and now God sees to it that Boaz and Ruth are there at the same time, that she has this good reputation, that her overseer tells about how diligent she's been in her work, and then this so impresses him that he says, you come in and eat with her. And he gives instructions to his overseer, look, let her glean even where she has no right to glean, and you accidentally drop some sheaves for her. You see to it that she has a rich gathering at the end of the day. And that is what happened. One other thing, he says, when she eats with us, give her food. And they gave her food, and this is a first instance of one not finishing all they eat and taking it home. We call it taking it home in doggy bags, because when she came home now, it says she showed her mother-in-law all that she had gathered, and it says also she gave to her that which she had left after she was sufficed. And so they gave her a big bowl of food to eat, and she couldn't eat it all, and so she didn't leave it and push it away. She took it, put it in her container, and she took it home and said, Mother, here, help yourself. And this, again, is a token of good. God is showing one sign after another that he's going to bless this woman. What is happening is this, and this is such an encouragement to us, that God in heaven knows, and we know, but Ruth did not know that God was working. When she goes and tells her mother-in-law about it, she learns the next step. Who was this person that was so kind to you? And she says, his name was Boaz. Boaz, he is one of our near kinsmen. You see, each link is being formed in the will of God, and Ruth doesn't know anything about it. She is doing her best, and the very fact that she is doing what she should do as best she could This enables God to form this link in the chain by the natural impression that she made upon Boaz. I'm thinking in your case and in mine, God would have to work a miracle in the hearts of people to make us accepted. But in the case of Ruth, there was nothing but her natural goodness, her qualities that caused Boaz to do all of these things for her. And when he speaks of this, we're just beginning to learn that things have been going on in his mind. He understands about his responsibility of being a near kinsman. He knows that. And at the same time, he knows about the levy rate marriage. There are two things that you should know about, and I'm going to let you look at them just a minute. So turn to Leviticus 25 for a moment. I want us to read about that. And if you ask me, well, what is the meaning of the word goel? It's a strange word where they say a near kinsman. At the same time, it means the one who has the right to redeem. He has the right to redeem. Why? He's a near kinsman. Since he's a near kinsman, he has the right to redeem. And so they translate it, a near kinsman, but at the same time, they can translate it, the one who has the right to redeem. So we're going to read about that in Leviticus 25. Look at verse 25. If thy brother be waxed poor and sells some of his possession, then shall his kinsman that is next unto him come and shall redeem that which his brother hath sold. Now, look down at verse 47. At times, the man not only sells his property, but, verse 47, and if a stranger or sojourner be with thee and wax rich, and thy brother be waxed poor beside him, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner with thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed. One of his brethren may redeem him. Notice, first of all, one of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle, that is, his brother's father, it says, when they that are in the, I skipped one extra page right here. His uncle's son may redeem him, that is his nephew. So, his brother may do it, his father's brother may redeem him, that is his uncle, or his uncle's son, his nephew may redeem him, and then it goes to his first cousin. But what happens is that the one that is nearest of kin is the one who has the right of redemption, and then if he doesn't have a brother, then it can be his uncle, and then it can be his nephew, and then it goes down the line. So that is what we're going to discover when Boaz says, yes, I'm a near kinsman, but there's somebody that's closer kin to you than I am. Now, one other portion, turn to Deuteronomy 25. I want you to see this a moment. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no son, the wife of the dead shall not be married without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him, the wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn that she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother that is dead, that his name be not blotted out of Israel. And I wanted you to know about that and to understand it a little, because this is what is going to take place in the case of Ruth. Turn back to Ruth now. This is what happened. Ruth was married to Mahlon, and Mahlon died. And now, Chilion, the brother of Mahlon, who should have married her, he is dead. And so what happens is that the Israelites had said, not only is this kinsman redeemer supposed to redeem the land, but they also made it a custom for him to also perform the duty of a brother. It shows how important a man's name remained in Israel, because it meant this. Here is Boaz and the child that was born unto him, Obed. It was not counted his child. It was counted the grandson of Elimelech and the son of Mahlon, who was dead. That was the responsibility. You see how God has determined certain things are to be carried out, and at least if a brother does marry his brother's wife, then the same genes are in that child, and that child does not go by his father's name, but by the name of his dead father. And all that was his father's that died, it goes to him. And this way, the land never got out of the hand of a certain family. You say, but it was sold. Yes, but it could be redeemed back. Well, what if it wasn't redeemed back? Then, in the year of Jubilee, the man that had bought it, it was no longer his. It reverted to the family that had sold it in the first place. It's the only way that God could keep land in a family, and that's what he intended to do. For this reason, now, in Ruth chapter 2, when Naomi said, "Where did you work today?" She said, "Why, I worked in the field of a man, and his name was Boaz." She said, "He is a near kinsman unto us." You see another glimmer of hope? Not only that Boaz comes and he's friendly to this woman, but now an additional truth arises. Naomi says, "Boaz, he is a near kinsman unto us." Every time we take a step, the goodness of God is manifested more and more. All right. Notice in verse 20, and this is an encouragement to us. "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." There are some who have died and think of Elimelech, Naomi's husband, and think of Mahlon and Chilion, who left their wives destitute. You say, how terrible a thing. But understand that if they have committed them to God, if they have entrusted those that were the darlings of their bosom to the hands of God, do you see how the Lord is able, even in their death, to show kindness to them? And so here is a man who is showing kindness to the living, that is, Ruth and Naomi. But he is also showing kindness to the dead, Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech, in what sense? In the sense that he has left a near kinsman that can redeem the land and can marry this woman and raise up seed for his dead brother. This is the goodness of God. All right. When Naomi sees this, immediately a plan enters her mind. She had thought about her daughters-in-law and they're finding rest with the husband of the Moabite, but now she is thinking of Ruth finding rest of an Israelite. And you will see, as I read to you a little in chapter 3, inasmuch as she knows all this information of the scriptures, she sees exactly what can be done, what can be accomplished, and the sad discourse that she gave, she said, "Call me not Naomi," that is pleasantness, sweetness, "but call me Mara, call me bitter. The hand of God has been heavy upon me." But now she sees that the hand of God can be gentle upon her, can be a blessing upon her. And so she starts thinking out a way to accomplish this. Men think out plans, but women do as well. And some of the plans are good and some are evil. But there are young people that are not so imaginative as their elders, as in the case of Jacob. Rebekah, his mother, who loved Jacob more than Esau, wanted him to get the blessing, and she heard Esau being asked of the father, go get me some venison meat, the kind that I love, and I want to eat it and I want to bless you before I die. And as soon as Rebecca heard it, she said, son, now you listen to me and do exactly what I tell you. She had it figured out in a moment how she was going to get that blessing in a false way from her blind husband, Isaac. Now that was something that was evil, but notice, it's in that woman's mind. And here is something that is good and legitimate, but it's ever so daring. But it's in this woman's mind. She says, now, this man has a responsibility to us, but he hasn't come forward. Notice that. That when she and Ruth, her daughter-in-law, came back, everybody knew about her. All the women were talking about her. Boaz knew about her. Her near kinsman knew about her. Everybody in town knew about her. But nobody had done anything about it. There should have been the coming forth immediately and assuming the responsibility of a near kinsman and buying of the land, the levy right, marriage, all of those things should have been immediately assumed. But they were not. And instead of that, here is Ruth that is going out as a foreigner and is gleaning in the field. You say, how sad. Yes, that's true. But in the case of Boaz, shall we criticize him as we would criticize the others that are near kin? No, because Boaz understands the situation perfectly. I think that he secretly had heard of this woman and admired her, and when he saw her, he fell in love with her. But he knew that whereas he was a near kinsman, he said, there is one that is nearer of kin than I am. And because of that, he could not hastily go forth, because there was one who was nearer of kin to Elimelech than he was, and because of that, had he offered to do these things, then the other one may have been provoked to jealousy and said, why, I will redeem the field, I will perform the levy right marriage. And so he was ever so slow in doing these things. But as you read the book as a whole, I believe that the man fell in love with her, but he did not want to put himself forward lest he make a proposal and all plans look so beautiful, and then one who was a nearer kinsman than he dashed them to the ground. So he stays in the background, but he does everything he can, and Naomi understands about it. I don't know why women understand about men and the way that they act or fail to act, but this Naomi did, and she has a plan. And the plan is this. Look in chapter 3 now. It says in verse 1, and Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight. Now, how does she know that? She knows all his plans. He's going to winnow barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now, wash thyself, therefore. Anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. That is her best raiment. And get thee down to the threshing floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down. She has everything figured out. And so the hesitance on the part of Boaz to come forth and assume these duties, she is placing the responsibility upon Ruth. And after she tells her this daring plan, look at verse 5. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest, I will do. Now, in the will of God, I shall show you that nothing that she said for the daughter-in-law to do was wrong. Nothing that she had in mind was wrong. But it is so daring if anything goes wrong and it is misinterpreted. Think now. Think if Boaz sees this woman coming and lying at his feet and he has a wrong estimate of her. You see how things could go astray, and all of her plans could be ruined, and all hope of ever having a kinsman redeemer to buy the land and to marry her daughter-in-law, all of those hopes would be gone. But she says, now, this is the daring plan that I'm giving you. And she only goes so far. It says down at verse 4, now you go and lie down at his feet, and he will tell you what you shall do. She says, I'm only going to tell you this much, and then after you go this far, he will tell you what you shall do. And this woman was prepared to set her reputation on the line, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest, I will do. This is one of the most remarkable women in the Bible. It is one that is so like another who did always the things that his father commanded him. Now, here is one who did all things that her mother-in-law commanded her. She had learned so much from her mother-in-law about her God and her people, the hopes, the aspirations of Israel. And now her mother-in-law said, this is what I want you to do. And she said, I'm willing to risk all of this. Notice one more thing. When she went gleaning that day, to show you how fortunate she was, and yet I'm going to tell you exactly what was accomplished, and you tell me if you think it was. Suppose you got up early in the morning and worked from sunrise to sunset, and all you brought home to your family was 25 pounds of meal. You say, you mean that's what she did? And yet it was a great blessing. She could have come home with just a small container full of grain, but she came home with about 20 or 25 pounds of barley meal, and because of this abundance in the gleaning, then her mother-in-law told her, this is the hand of God. I see that the Lord is working. One other thing. To show you how you do what is right, you go along all the natural channels and leave God to work out the rest. Look down at verse 23 in chapter 2. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. It meant that she stayed with her mother, but she would go out every day and work from sunup to sundown, and she did this for week after week after week. Now, so many would say, here I am, a young, attractive woman. Why, this man has set his eye upon me. I don't have to do this work. Let him, without my doing any work, set this beneficence upon me. She didn't do that. Notice, she kept maintaining the reputation she had, and she kept doing the work that had caused her to be commendable in the eyes of Boaz. And that's what happens to some of us. We have been working for God in a certain way, and then we are congratulated, and we want to live upon our laurels of the past. But this woman works for 2 months more. She labors, and she brings home grain day after day after day. Think of this woman. Do you know any woman around now who would work from sunup to sundown for her mother-in-law, and all she would bring home was so much grain at the end of every day? And yet she did it because she loved her mother-in-law. And at the same time, when the mother-in-law has this daring scheme, she will carry out this scheme. Well, Ruth was the one to do that. One other natural thing. She does not say, what is to be will be. And therefore, you just go and tell the man, I'm one of your near kinsmen. You should marry me, and you should take care of me, and you should redeem the land that my mother-in-law is selling. Not that way at all. She said, this is what could be done. I could go and speak to Boaz about you, but he may say no. But I believe you could do it this way. We'll be successful. And notice, she said, you wash yourself, you anoint yourself, you put on your best clothes, and you lie down at his feet and see how that works. You understand? In other words, you do everything that you can to make yourself attractive to the man. It's not that you just grow it after you've been working all day in the fields and you're hot and you smell unpleasant. Not that at all. But you go and you wash yourself, you anoint yourself, and you put on your best clothes, lie down at his feet, and then whatever he says to you, he'll tell you what to do. I'm thinking of that portion in our King James, whereas Eliezer, the unnamed servant, went forth to find the bride for Isaac, and he said, "While I was in the way, the Lord led me." So this woman kept showing kindness to her mother-in-law, kept laboring in the field, and now she prepares herself to put forth before Boaz herself in her beauty, the best appearance, and then she's going to leave the rest to God. And this is where we're going to leave off tonight, and you'll have to come back next week to see how it turned out. So don't read ahead. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful for the way that you work in our lives, and we're not even aware that you're working. A little something here, a little something there. And yet, after it's all over, we look back and we see how you were working in our lives all along. And we remember that verse, that God worketh all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So, our Father, whatever happens, let us do thy will. Let us do nothing that is evil, but let us do thy will, all in our power to make ourselves naturally attractive, and yet leave the outcome to thee. Let us be in the way, our God. Let us be doing thy will, and then let the outcome be what you will. Bless these truths for our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.